Solutions on Clare FM is brought to you by Kerry Corbett, your local finance experts.
Tommy Corbett from Kerry Corbett Financial Solutions, Ross Levin in Ennis is on the line. Tommy, good morning to you.
Morning, Gavin.
And good morning and thank you very much for joining us. We're talking pensions on the programme this morning. At what stage in our working lives would you be advocating for people to start looking ahead to their retirements and start planning financially for their retirements?
Ideally, Gavin, I would like people to start thinking about this from the minute they start working, really, you know. If you take, for instance, the state pension or the contributory pension, you know, you start contributing to that the minute you start paying PRSI. So I think in regard to a personal pension, the same should apply in that from the day you start work, you should start putting money away in regard to looking after retirement through a pension plan. And the earlier you start, the more you'll end up paying in, the greater the growth will be over the time. And I suppose the big thing is, well, Gavin, is that once you start paying in, and if you start paying in from the very start, you know, it's a case of what you never had, you don't miss. So, you know, so I would advocate that if at all possible, to start a pension the day you start work.
If at all possible. So in other words, if you haven't done that, consider starting now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, the earlier you start, the better. So, for instance, if you can start at age 25 versus age 35, that will make a massive difference in regard to the pension pot you will end up having by the time you come to retire at age 65 or 67 or whatever it may be. Every 7 years, 7 to 8 years that you delay paying into a pension basically halves the pot you're going to have when it comes to retirement. So, for instance, if I start saving at 25 for a pension, I'm paying in €200 a month, and Gavin starts saving at 35 and he pays in €200 a month, the likelihood is Gavin's pot will be less than half of what my pot will be. And that is down to growth and obviously longer that you're paying in. Mm. So, you know, a pension plan is quite simple. It's a long-term savings plan. So the longer you're paying in, the more you pay in, the more you're going to get back out at the end of the day.
Okay. The question you're encouraging people to ask themselves is, can I afford to retire?
Yeah, so I suppose this is kind of more of a holistic question, really. And what I mean by that is a pension should really form part of a retirement plan. So part of that retirement plan could be making sure that you have your mortgage paid off by the time you come to retirement, making sure that your kids are educated by the time, you know, you decide to retire. And that's why some people can afford maybe to retire, you know, at 60, and other people, you know, may need to keep working till into their 70s. You know, so like I said, a pension should form part of a retirement plan. And another part of that retirement plan may be buying a second property or your savings, etc. You know, AVCs, additional voluntary contributions, all that kind of stuff. So really, can you afford to retire is really down to your own personal circumstances. And that's, you know, that we need to take kind of a holistic view on that in relation to how much have you saved for retirement. What are your debts? What are your personal circumstances? What are your family circumstances? Those types of things should all form part of a retirement plan.
Mm. And how much should you look to have saved? As in, how much of a nest egg should you have tried to build up?
Okay, so that's, I suppose, how long is a piece of string? The more you can build up, the better. So what we really need to do is we need to bridge the gap between what we're going to get from the state and what we need to actually, you know, to live a normal life. So the state has basically said that they wish to continue with the state pension, the contributory pension, at one-third the average industrial wage. So if the average industrial wage is 39,000, then the state pension is going to be 13,000. So if you're, you know, if you think you can survive, we'll say, on maybe 25 or 30,000 a year in retirement because you've no expenses when it comes to children, you've no mortgage, you may only need one car, that kind of thing, you know. So therefore, you need to be able to bridge that gap. Now, other people will say, well, I want to have 40,000. So the more you need, the more you need to put away. So there's no real set answer for that. You know, and then it depends on what you do post-retirement with that money, how you've invested and what kind of salary you are, what kind of wage and income you're going to take out of that. And the final thing is it depends on when you want to retire. So if you want to retire at 60, you're going to need to have a lot bigger pot there to live from than someone that wants to retire at 70 okay. or 72 or 3.
But basically, irrespective of what you talked about, how long is a piece of string, and that's a very fair point to make in response to my last question. But in general terms, what you're saying is you need to prepare whatever it is you need to have saved. The earlier you start saving, the more effective it'll be, the more likely you are to reach that target.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And the less you'll have to put in. So, for instance, if I want to reach a target of X by the time I'm 65 and I start at 25, but if I don't start till I'm 35, it's going to cost me a lot more to reach the same target by delaying it by those 10 years. So the earlier you start, the better. And you can start off with a small amount. Pensions are generally flexible, like savings are flexible. You can increase it, you can decrease it, you can stop it if needs be. If you've other expenses and you're unable to afford to keep paying into a pension, you can stop it. You know, these are personal pensions, obviously. Now, ideally what you want is you want to be able to, you know, start a job with an employer that has a pension plan where while your employer pays in a little bit, you pay in a little bit. It comes directly from your salary. You never, like I said at the start, what you have never had, you don't miss. Yeah. You know, so you've always had the same net pay, and yet there's this little amount going in every month into a pension for you. That's the ideal situation. And I think we'll get to that over the next number of years with mandatory pensions coming in and that kind of stuff. Now, that seems to have been put on the back burner, I suppose, with what has happened in the last year or two with COVID and that kind of thing. But I think mandatory pensions will come in, auto-enrollment, all that kind of stuff will come in over the next number of years. And that should alleviate a lot of the problems.
Okay.
Now, that should alleviate a lot of the problems in maybe 30 or 40 years' time. It won't alleviate those problems facing, those people that are facing retirement maybe in 10 or 15 years' time.
Let's focus then on people in the here and now. Let's not wait for auto-enrollment. How do people start about getting a pension? What are your first steps?
First step is talk to an advisor. So they will be the people that will be able to talk, look at your financial circumstances, and not just in relation to pensions. So they will look at your financial circumstances in relation to savings, investments, children's education, all that kind of stuff, right? And then part of that then will be obviously looking at a pension plan for you. And they will be able to design a pension plan based on your circumstances. So for instance, if you can only afford 50 euros a month, that's fine, or if you can afford 500 euros a month. And they will take into account things like what tax relief you're going to get. So some people might turn around and say, listen, I can only afford, let's say, 200 euros a month. And then when you take the tax relief that they're getting into account, it actually means that they can afford 300 euros a month. You know, so I would say the first step along that ladder, is talk to a financial advisor, talk to a financial broker, and they will be able to design a retirement plan for you based on your circumstances.
How good are those tax reliefs?
Again, if you're paying the marginal rate, it's 40%. It's absolutely fabulous. It is the biggest tax relief you're really going to get. So, for instance, for every 100 you're paying in, if you're on 40% tax, that means that 100 is only costing you 60 because you're getting 40% back on tax from it, you know. So, and then apart from that, the growth within a pension fund grows tax-free as well. So where your savings are taxed in relation to DIRT tax at either 33 or 41%, any growth within a savings or within a pension plan grows tax-free. So for instance, I had a client that we looked at her pension plan there last week. I think she paid in around 100,000. It's worth about 180. That 100,000 has really only cost her 60,000. You know what I mean? So it has cost her 60,000 now to have 180,000 in a pension, in a pension plan. So you're not going to get that type of return anywhere else.
And that's the argument for it. That's only if you pay into a pension fund, though, I presume.
Yeah, in relation to the tax relief, is it?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, absolutely, yes. So it, pensions attract tax relief at the marginal rate. So now, if you're only paying tax at 20%, that's the rate you're going to get the tax relief with as well. So that, you know, but you're still up 20% in relation to your savings. So if you're putting in 100 euros a month, it's really only costing you 80. You're not going to get that return from any other product, really.
How secure is your money? If you invest it, we all know the value can go up and can also go down, as the ads do say.
Yeah, so again, this is where advice really comes into it. And if you take a holistic, again, a kind of what's called a multi-asset approach, in other words, that you're not putting all your eggs in one basket, you're not putting it all in property or you're not putting it all in equities, but you would have a spread of different assets. That's number one. Equities are where the volatility will come from. Equities are shares. So we all know of people that have been burnt in shares and all that kind of stuff. But if you go into what I would consider a normal or a middle-of-the-road pension fund, you're probably getting into in or around maybe 400 different equities. In other words, 400 different companies that are spread globally. They're not in any one sector. They're different sectors, whether it's pharmaceutical or food or IT or whatever it may be. And yes, that pension will go up and down in value over time. But markets have always outperformed cash or any other asset over the longer term. So the longer you are from retirement, the greater the level of equities and the greater the volatility you can take. As you get closer to needing those monies, you probably will need to peg back the volatility and move your funds in and out into more secure or stable assets like bonds, okay, and cash and that kind of thing. And that's where your advice, you know, advice really will play a huge part in relation to it. So how secure are pensions? As long as you have a well-diversified portfolio, a multi-asset approach, there's no real risk over the medium to long term.
Okay. Mary wants me to ask you, if in the case of death, will my child inherit my pension automatically?
Yeah, so in general, okay, so 99% of the time, absolutely. So for instance, well, it goes to your next of kin. So for instance, if you have 100,000 inside the pension plan, that 100,000 becomes an asset and forms part of your estate. So it's wherever you direct that money is going to go to, it goes to. So it forms part of your estate, just like any other asset.
Okay, so the money isn't lost on your death?
No. Again, that has changed, I suppose, in the last 20, 25 years in regard to pensions. Now, and where I suppose money was lost, to kind of use your term, it was post-retirement whereby people may have bought an annuity or bought a pension, and then if they died, that pension then died with them. That doesn't really happen anymore. It can do depending on the option you take post-retirement. But in general, if you have a pension fund there and you pass away, it forms part of your estate.
Okay. Derek, I think we kind of covered this, and I don't think he's going to get the answer he's looking for, but Derek wants me to ask you, if he was to retire today and was hoping to have a pension of 250 quid a week, how much of a pension pot would he need?
Yeah, so the way I would look at it, a good way to look at that is, you know, if you want an income of 250 euros a week, that's 13,000 a year, I would say you're looking at maybe taking a 4% out of the pension pot. So therefore, you really would need about 325,000 inside the pension plan to actually, at 4% would give you an income of 13 grand a year.
No, he'd still be able to get the state pension, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're doubling it up. So you'd have your 13,000 from your personal pension, your 13,000 from the state pension, giving you 26,000 a year.
Okay.
You know, which isn't bad. If all other things are equal, in other words, if your mortgage paid off, your kids are reared, all that kind of thing.
So, in effect, so what was the number again? Did you say 325 grand?
Yeah, so and again, that's a rough figure. You know, so that's at 4%. If you have 325,000 in a pension plan and you take 4% of it every year, that will give you an income of 13,000 a year.
Okay, there you go. And then I wanted to ask you as well, and a listener in East Clare, well, I was going to bring it up anyway, but they've been in touch. What about the charges for managing a pension fund? Labour yesterday released a report claiming that up to 6 out of every 10 euro in pension funds are being swallowed up by charges and fees. So I know you've got your tax breaks, etc. But if there's somebody siphoning off 3% potentially of your overall fund every year, then you can understand how some people might feel that the growth potential of their pensions is very limited.
Yeah, 100%. No, I read that article yesterday and I was actually flabbergasted. I had to read it two or three times. they quoted in the article fund management charges of around of 3% with a premium charge of 3%. So I'm in the industry, I've been working in this industry for over 20 years, and I've never come across a fund management charge of 3%. It's akin to saying that 60% of what you pay in a mortgage goes on interest if you pay 6% interest over 35 years when, you know, mortgage interest rates are less than 3%. But having said that, yeah, listen, are people overpaying on charges at times there? Absolutely. I suppose the charge that you should be paying on a pension, you should be paying a fund management fee, generally speaking, of in and around between 1% and 1.5%, I think would be fair. Mm. And that's, you know, assuming you're going to be getting advice every year and then you review and all that kind of stuff. And really, you shouldn't be paying any premium charge, you know. So the only charge really you should have on a pension is a fund management charge of in around 1% to 1.5%. You will be able to get, and you can get, cheaper fund management charges, absolutely. But don't expect to get the advice if you're not prepared to pay for a higher fund management charge. And that's fine. If people want to do and want to look after their own pensions and that kind of thing, absolutely, they can go for the cheapest
cheapest options
out there. Yeah, absolutely. But the flip side of that is that there's a study, you know, that was commissioned a number of years ago, and it was done by Standard Life, whereby, you know, pension pots were 52% higher for those people that actually engaged a financial broker versus those people that didn't. Savings were 80% higher for those people that engaged a financial broker as compared to those people that didn't.
So, and that's after the fees and charges.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. These are average pension and saving pots, and they're between 52 and 53% higher in pensions, 80% higher when it came to savings on average. So, absolutely, you need to be very aware of what you're paying in charges. If you're paying a premium charge, you need to be talking to your local broker, and he or she would be able to bring that down for you. You should not be paying a premium charge, in my view. And you should only be paying in or around between 1% and 1.5% in regard to annual management charge.
Okay.
The fees that were quoted in the article yesterday were 3% fund management charge and a 3% premium charge. Yes, I've seen premium charges of up to 5%, which is, you know, I wouldn't agree with. But I've never, in over 20 years, come across a fund management charge of 3%. It just doesn't happen.
Okay, but even at 1.5% a year, obviously over a long period of time, that'll become a significant enough bill that you will have paid over a period of time. But your belief is that, I mean, you have to pay for advice and you pay professionals for advice, so I respect that. Your belief is that it's worth it in the long run more often than not.
Absolutely, Gavin. In that, this time last year when we were in the height, you know, at the very height, we'll say at the start of COVID, markets were down 15-20%. I was getting phone calls from, you know, people that were in company pension schemes wondering what to do. You know, they had moved the money from equities into cash. They had actually lost, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 euros. Why? Because they didn't get advice. Because when they rang their pension provider, because of the low charges, they were told they could do whatever they wanted. They weren't told what to do or what they should do. So advice, over long-term, advice is worth paying for. And yes, you will have to pay for it, but it is worth it.
Okay. Just a final one, really quickly, if you will. Inquiring as to what or where I can put a pension lump sum where I work, the weekly pension thereafter isn't paid to anyone.
Sorry, say that again.
I get the impression this person has a lump sum as opposed to a weekly pension payment, and they're wondering where can they store it.
Okay, so they may have what's called an ARF, or they may have a paid up pension from maybe a former employment that they had. Basically, they have a number of options. Again, what I would say is, you know, if they wanted to contact me, I'd go through their options with them. But that's the hard one. It depends really where it is. If it's an ARF, you can switch providers,
fair point,
all
yeah.
that kind of stuff. There's no issue there. What you want to be looking at there is you need to be looking at the circumstances, what age they are. Are they in retirement or is it pre-retirement, all that kind of stuff. So I suppose it's not easy to answer that.
No, appreciate it.
It'll depend on their circumstances, really, yeah.
Tommy, appreciate your time. Thanks very much.
Okay, thanks, Gavin.
Do take care, Slán. Tommy Corbett there of Kerry Corbett Financial Solutions in Rosslevin and Ennis. We'll podcast that, by the way, later for anyone who wants to listen back or who might have missed all that advice.
Financial Solutions on Clare FM is brought to you by Kerry Corbett, your local finance.